In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're in the afterfeast of the Dormition. The Dormition, or the falling asleep of the Mother of God, happened on August the 15th, but that feast continues for several days, for a full week. It is the tradition on Dormition as we celebrate the falling asleep, the death of Mary, the Mother of God. It is the tradition throughout the Orthodox world to bless flowers, in many places also to bless herbs and seeds. And I spoke a little bit last night at Vespers about why it is that we bless flowers. It has to do with the miracle that is depicted on the icon of the miraculous summoning to the deathbed of Mary of all of the apostles. They were gathered from all the places that they had been preaching the gospel to say goodbye to the Mother of God, to bury her. With one exception, the apostle Thomas was not there, just as he was not there when the Lord first made his appearance to the apostles after his own resurrection. Thomas was summoned late. He arrived late. When he arrived, Mary had already died. And he wanted to pay his final respects, to say his last goodbyes to the Mother of God. They opened the tomb for Thomas, and her body was not there. Instead, what was in the place of her body were flowers, or flower petals. And so that association between flowers and the Mother of God and her absent body translated into heaven is one of the reasons that we bless flowers. We also bless herbs and seeds. The tradition is that at some point in Constantinople, the emperor called forth for the blessing of olives, which had been harvested. Many of our Orthodox feasts kind of coincide with harvest festivals. This particular time of the year, olives were called forth to be blessed. Olives are not just food. Olives are used for making olive oil. Olive oil is not just for food. Olive oil was their medicine. It was the basis of the way in which they treated disease and wounds. As the church spread north, as it went to places where olives would not grow, into the cold Slavic lands of the north in particular, what became traditional to bless was not olive oil, but herbs, because herbs were the medicine that would sustain life through the cold, hard winter months. But not just herbs to sustain life through the cold winter months. Already thinking ahead, giving thanks for the blessings that had been given to the people during the harvest of that summer, they already started looking forward to the plantings for next year. And so they blessed seeds from those good crops that they might be planted the next year, giving rise to new harvests. We did all of this on Dormition. We'll do another version of it again at the end of liturgy today. But what is true of the Dormition seems to be true of the entire month of August. August the 15th is not the only day where we seem to aim at our stomachs, not just at our minds and our hearts. In just the last 2 weeks, we have celebrated feast days on which we have blessed water, we have blessed honey, we have blessed grapes and fruit and other produce, and now flowers and herbs and seeds. And this is the beauty of our faith. Historically, our church calendar, this calendar feasts and saints. This calendar and the agricultural calendar, they were woven together in ways that were very natural. Church and life were in sync. There was a harmony between the cycles of worship, cycles of farming. Prayer and work did not compete with one another. Prayer and work were natural partners. May we never forget that. May we never forget that our faith in Jesus Christ is very real and very concrete. Jesus Christ not only came to save our hearts and our souls and our minds, he came to save our bodies, he came to save our families, our homes, and our communities. He came to save our work, he came to save our culture, he came to save our science, our art, our literature, our music. His desire to be with us is strong. So strong that we know he even desires to enter our very bodies every time we approach the chalice and receive the holy mysteries. That we bless food and drink so very often in August is a symbol of the more general proclamation that Jesus Christ has come to save every last little piece of who we are, to transfigure all of life. He wants to bring all of us, all little pieces of our lives into the kingdom. And we give thanks to God for this divine love by recognizing that even in the food we eat, we find the love and life which God offers freely to everyone who hears his call. Our faith in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, is a faith of fullness. Or to use a good Hebrew image, our faith in God is a faith of fatness. In Isaiah chapter 55, we hear the Lord shout forth words of welcome. The people of Israel had been held captive in Babylon for many decades, and finally they are being restored to home. They're coming home again. And in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, we hear the Lord speak to his returning people, saying to them, "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? Why do you spend your labor on that which does not satisfy? Hear me, eat what is good, and delight yourselves in fatness." And this theme of fullness, we know, is front and center even on Pascha night. Think of the gospel reading that we hear, read at the Divine Liturgy on Pascha, celebrating the Lord's resurrection. It is a gospel reading which declares that in Jesus Christ, those who are hungry will hunger no more. We hear from St. John's Gospel that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. And from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. In Jesus Christ there is abundance for all who hunger, and from the fullness of his divine love, you and I, we have received grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. What is true of Pascha is true of every Sunday, every feast day, every time that we gather together as the called out church to participate in this Eucharistic celebration. Every Sunday we receive from his fullness grace upon grace. We leave this place fattened by grace, full with divine love and mercy. But of course we leave this place and we go into a world that is still hungry. A world in which people are starving for meaning, starving for hope, starving for love. And so the words spoken by Jesus to his disciples this morning in the gospel reading become words now spoken to us as we go out and we confront a hungry world. "You give them something to eat," he said to his disciples, and he says to us. And of course, if we have received that grace upon grace from his fullness, if we have entered the Lord's household and have begun to delight ourselves in fatness, milk and wine without price, bread and honey without end, if we do drink deeply from his living waters, if we do eat the bread of life, then we do have much to give. I mentioned earlier that on Dormition it's the custom to bless those seeds, things to plant for the next harvest. The last harvests are in. It is time to set aside good seed so that next year we can plant and harvest again. But it's important to remember that on Dormition, as on every feast day, as on every Sunday, we also receive spiritual seeds. During our journey through the year, our experience of the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, church gives us seeds to plant. And very simply, our Lord says to us, "Plant my gospel in your heart and grow some fruit." Allow the Holy Spirit to grow divine fruit in your hearts. Receive the seeds of the gospel and plant them, and take care of the soil in your heart around those seeds. Pray and worship and serve and love and forgive and receive forgiveness and be guided through the holy rhythms of the church year. Plant the word of the gospel in your hearts like a seed and allow the Holy Spirit to raise up a garden of delights in your soul. Do this, our Lord says to this. Do this, allow your hearts to bring forth the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Then the whole world will also delight in the fatness of the Lord. We know there are 9 fruits described by the Apostle Paul, fruits of the Holy Spirit in his letter to the Galatians. There's love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And to feed this hungry world, we are called to gather all the fruit that we can and lay them at our Lord's feet. He will bless that. He will bless what we offer. He will multiply it, and then he will give it to the starving. You give them something to eat. Give them the fruit of love. Have compassion on those you meet. Be willing to suffer alongside those who suffer. Allow me to bless your compassion, says Jesus, and together we will feed those who are starved for genuine love. They are hungry, he says to us, but you give them something to eat. Give to others the fruit of joy. The world we live in is hard, very unkind. But the message of God's love and his active presence is a message that brings joy. Share that fruit of joy, he says to us. When we do so, we know that Jesus is faithful to multiply that joy and to feed those who are starved for comfort and hope. You give them something to eat. Give them the fruit of your peace. Let go of fear. Let go of anxiety. Live the day which I have given to you, says the Lord. Let my love fill your hearts with peace. I will bless that. I will multiply your peace, and thousands around you will also learn that my perfect love for them will cast out fear. You give them something to eat. Give them those 4 fruits, sweet and delicious, those 4 fruits of patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Allow the Holy Spirit to raise up and harvest such fruit in the garden of your heart. Each person is precious to me, says Jesus. So let them be precious to you. Take time to listen to their stories. Take time to help them. Take time to offer them a place of safety and comfort and reassurance. Let people know you care, that they matter to you. Be patient, be kind, be gentle, and rejoice in what is good. Let those around you feast on the sweetness of your care and your concern for them. Do this, and no one will go away hungry. You give them something to eat. Grow a mighty crop of faithfulness in your heart. Learn to trust me more deeply. Learn to surrender to me more completely. Allow the truth of the resurrection to color everything you see. Let the resurrection make a difference. Put your money where your mouth is. Pray more. Worship more. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice in love to others. Do this, and you will find that the fruit of your faithfulness will be so abundant that not even 12 baskets can catch the overflow. Finally, our Lord says, you give them something to eat. Give them the fruit of your self-control, your endurance. Pray always. Give thanks to God in all things. Fast. Live more simply. Give sacrificially. Turn your eyes away from what you should not see. Turn your ears away from what you should not hear. Don't let your feet take you to places where you should not go, nor your mouths to say words that should not be said. Be content in everything with my love for you. Do this, and all shortage and all scarcity will be gone. Allow me to bless the fruit of your self-control, and all the world will enjoy the surplus, the fatness of the land. Brothers and sisters, the world is still a hungry place. And our Lord still commands us to go forth and to give them something to eat. Let them eat fruit. These 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, let us offer to others what the Holy Spirit is able to grow in our hearts, which only the Holy Spirit is able to grow in our hearts. The fruit of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And maybe the pickings are slim. Maybe you feel that way. That's okay. Even if what grows in our heart is small and bitter and underripe and green, that's okay. In the same way that our Lord multiplied the loaves and the fish in the wilderness, he will multiply every small thing we bring to the divine feast of his love for humankind. Amen.